Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to a special edition of Spill the Beans, a candid conversational piece on all things life and career. My name is Ty Blair, Executive Director of the awesome nonprofit organization When You Give a Bean Water, a collective hub of resources for families of color to utilize on their own terms. And today I have an esteemed guest with me. He's an expert of everything logistics, as well as a writer of well over 20 years. And as a creative, he showcases his web series, his web comic series on his website, mylifeantics.com. He is an amazing father and a phenomenal husband, my husband, Eric Blair. I know your camera's not frozen. Was your camera frozen? Are you playing with me?
No, Jomo
Thank you for being my esteemed guest today. I appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here. I don't have nowhere else to go but here.
We're literally in Le Chateau Blair. So, yeah, we're both here in the home.
Because I feel as though you shouldn't tell the listeners that. Like, we could be in private places,
That's a good
like bunkers and rooms.
point. We're about preparing for the apocalypse.
And who knows? Who knows? Life is crazy these days.
Oh, you're absolutely right. So yes, I have my wonderful husband as a guest host with me today. Just to give you guys like a little bit of background. So him and I have been talking about doing podcasts together for some time. And it's so funny because him and I, we always have conversations. Like if we don't do anything, him and I, we talk. And we have really great, like insightful, enlightening type conversations. Like even to the point where we'll have some of our friends be like, can I like join in with you guys when y'all have these conversations? Can we talk? Can we? And like even like amongst like our group of friends and everything, everybody like loves to have these type of conversations with us. We were like, wouldn't this be nice to share with the general public? So here we are.
Like converse with one another, pretty much with just with the masses listening. Some of our conversations are like from wild to like enlightening. It's a very mixed bag of just what we talk about. A lot of stuff based on just the current issues of the world. Just black issues of economy, of just finance, of whatever. It goes everywhere. So there's nothing taboo for us to talk about. So yes, we enjoy we invoke and invite everyone to hear some of our conversations from the lighting to the inane.
Right. So, what pretty much sparked this episode? About a few days ago, my husband decided to, I guess, share one of his episodes from a webcomic series that he did. I think this was like 7 years ago. It said 2017. But it was called My Life in a Petri Dish. I'm not sure that.
2017, 7 years ago? My God, I felt like 2017 was yesterday.
Right? If I do the math right, yeah, like it was literally 7 years ago.
Oh, you're right. That's just wild.
I know.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Okay, no, I know. It kind
Finish.
of probably like blew your mind, like, oh my gosh, it's been that long.
Yeah, I remember, like, I know I haven't wrote Petri Dish, or no, it's not me writing it. It's just it ended. It was a set run. It was a set, I believe, 5 year run, and I started back in 2014. I started Petri Dish in 2014, and I believe I ended around 2015. 2019, 20 or 20, because even between like the years, between the years of Petri dish, there were breaks, like, maybe a few months breaks to kind of prepare for like how I was writing it as like seasons, like on a TV show. And so pretty much like each season had like particular topics of dealing with, each character. So like in Petri dish, to give a little background, it was four characters of and they're Ryan, Axel, Faye, and Drew. Those are the four main characters. And the idea stemmed from like but with majority black and I incorporated within this within Petri dish this my just randomness as well as what was going on at that time. So like from 2014 to like 2019, 2020, I feel like that was the golden years before like COVID. So like everything was just optimistic, everything was fun, everything was random, and then COVID hit. So pretty much with Petri dish, I just really just wanted to showcase, like black friendshiphood, because a lot of people don't realize how like important friendships is, just as much as important as a relationship, as like a just a physical relationship that turned into a marriage. Like, so like friendships is like you are married to some of your friends. You have friends that are grandfathered in. So that's why I wanted to showcase in Petri dish and just the craziness that these characters will go through on a daily and or just a glimpse in their lives, just a day in their life, just a moment, just showing something even like heartfelt, funny, just crazy, silly, super serious, intense. So, I just wanted to share a lot of that, especially just being at that age. I think at the time I probably was, I don't know, I don't even know how old, how will I just forget how old I was? I was 30 and 10 years ago. So I was 30. Really, I started to create Petri dish in my late 20s and like around 28, 29, and just doing a lot of this stuff in the background and just really getting the concept and like getting the idea together. And, it stemmed from me reading an article from a writer that wrote Green Lantern, a comic book, I believe Ron Mars. And he was like at a convention center or at a Comic Con, and pretty much a fan came up to him and was like, "Hey, I want to break into the comic book industry. How do I go about it?" And so he told the fan that, instead of always aiming to go straight to the top and get into the big, the big companies, or at least the big three, Marvel, DC, or Image, the internet's open. Write your own comics, create your own comics, create your own like just universe. You can do whatever. And so reading that article, was like, that he's right. Like we have social media, we have blog spaces, we have websites for music. Why not create a website, for a comic book series or just pretty much like a web comic? And even with the structure of it, I wanted to create the structure, the nine panel, episodes, kind of like the old comic strips in the news pages. So there's like so much details to this, how I want to, come off at, with each episode. And so I came up with My Life in the Petri dish, such a long title, but the title has like a very huge significant meaning. And I just, I've worked with at least like maybe about four to five different artists throughout the whole series, a 5-year run. And it's been great. It's been great working with different people, different creators, and just, doing different things. And I'm really proud of My Life in a Petri dish. It is, to me, just the everyday common person type of series. Like anything I put money on, anything you read or episode in My Life in a Petri Dish you can relate to or you'll laugh at. Because at the end of the day, you have to laugh with just the state of this world and just how things go or how just the things people go through daily. So there has to be a reason for you to laugh or to show up other ways to have an outlet, because that's what Petri Dish was for me. It was a huge outlet for me. And the crazy part about it, and here's something that I only think I ever even told you, Ty. Technically, Drew was supposed to die. He was supposed to die in Petri Dish. I was going to kill him off. But instead of killing him off, I got, or the what changed that whole effect was Ryan and Faye pretty much becoming a couple, because it never was originally for them to become a couple. And because I changed that part, Drew lived.
Yeah, I would have never guessed. How was he gonna die? Like, what were you gonna do?
And now it could have been a car accident, could have been suicide, it could have been anything. But Drew was going to originally die. That was like probably by like year three or year, probably get, I think it was year three. So I think that's when Ryan and Faye end up getting together. So yeah, by year three, he was going to die.
That sounds very
But like I just had, clearly I changed it. He made it. Yeah. He made it to the end of the series. Shit, he was even in group hug. So no, he originally was gonna die.
wow. So Drew lives, thank God. That would have been very morbid. I would have not expected that at all. Because he's like the more like chill, like lackadaisical person. So it's like, what's the point of having him like be, pretty much killed off.
And the crazy thing. So here's the thing about Drew. He is based after two of my good friends. He's based after Sheldon, my childhood friend. We pretty much lived next door to each other. We went to the same elementary school, middle school, high school. We worked at the same job together. We lived together. And my other great friend Rashad. He's visually he has an attitude of Sheldon, but visually he has more of the look of Rashad. And so like I'm happy I didn't kill him off, because it was an episode that I like mimic Rashad had like a dating commercial for like Philly's like hottest singles or most eligible singles, and it was like the most cringiest, fucking funniest commercial ever. Like I think it was at one point he was like at a Lake City or the shoreline. Like it was wild. So yes, I'm happy that I didn't kill Drew off, because Drew grew so much into such a enigma. Because even if it was like even some of Drew's mannerisms or topics, like I see that, because that's what we do with for Rashad. We always ask, what do you do for a living? Like how are you getting all this money or making all these moves? And I don't think you have a job. So I kind of took that, kind of mimicked Drew's character around Rashad and the chillness of Sheldon. And so yeah, I'm happy he didn't die, because it just made it more perfect than like, to see how his journey ended.
Right, exactly. So yeah, so like this is the episode that, like I said, that he shared on Facebook, and just reading it just had me cracking up. Like the fact that, so like you said, the one character in the white shirt is Drew, and then the guy with the beard, that's Axel, and they're both friends with they're both friends of the main character, which is Ryan, who's pretty much a black therapist, right? A black male therapist.
Actually, Ryan is a black sex therapist
Yes.
in the old folks' home.
Yes.
The reason I made that little thing, because I found out, because again, so many facts I find out, so I always put them in anything I write. I found out like old folks home has a high rate of STDs.
Yeah.
And that's humorous in itself to think old folks are like just getting it on like after retirement, before death. So it's just like it's almost like it will make it even comedic to have such a serious character work in an old folks home as a sex therapist and kind of just hearing some wild stuff. Just only imagine what a therapist will hear from older people about just sexing all day, just having pure sex. So yes, Ryan is a sex therapist at an old folks home. And yeah, so Axel is a news anchor. And again, another reason I made Axel a news anchor. So like any episodes I wanted to get like preachy, unfortunately, but if I wanted to, share certain messages or speak my mind about something political or something that's just going on and just not even pop culture, just going on in life. All right. I'll always go to Axel to lead that episode. So yes, Axel's a news anchor. And Drew is just, Drew's Drew. So the whole idea, so even to go back, the idea, the reason he normally don't have a beard, but I think this might have been probably like the third year, and he decided he wanted to get a beard to look a little more edgy and try and impress, this girl that he likes at his job. And so, because all stories is always about a woman. And but his beard, the whole like running joke was his beard was called the Drake, because this was around the time that Drake ended up having a beard, and he was a huge fan of Drake, and so he kind of wanted to look like the white Drake, and so that was one thing. Funny, the meme in the middle comes from, if you notice, it comes from the Swaggy P meme, when like I guess his mom was talking to him and he kind of did that face and like the question mark. So like yes, I used to love like just getting random memes that I felt like was like hilarious off the internet and incorporating it into the story. And then and like one of my like favorite parts of the story was the fact that like we all have friends that will take our stuff. And like no matter how much you're like, hey, stop taking my stuff, or stop like just holding on to my stuff. Like, why give me my clothes or sneakers back that you had for like 3 years? So the whole thing was, Axel coming in and grabbing a watch. And when he, it's a deeper, crazy meaning. Because he sat down and broke down, well, what is everyone's role in the friend group? And he said it was his watch, but then he admitted, like, and he broke it down that, like, Ryan got nice things. Faye has connects, because Faye is the main woman character in the story, and she's like this corporate exec. She's just a power. She's a boss. She's a power, just woman, just power alpha woman that just will check a person, but will be just as vulnerable as anyone. Like, loved her. Like, one of my favorite women characters I've ever written. But here he says that Faye has the connections. Drew has the money, and pretty much Axel himself is just white. And like, and so the fact that like you break that down and look at like society, and this was back in 2017, and the fact that the main three people are people of color that work bust ass, work twice as hard to get where they get. Not saying Axel didn't work twice as hard, but Axel will have, beyond just being a friend, but have that entitlement that, hey, I can just go and grab my friend's stuff because I'm a white man and I can get away with it. I can do it. And they just sweep it under the rug, even though, they work hard for these things, but I can just come in and take it and just enjoy myself with it and maybe give it back if I feel like. So that was a deep meaning in this episode. And then on top of Drew's love interest, Axel's gossiping and talking to Drew about his love interest, and where so Drew is just like kind of like trying to he's trying to resist. Like sometimes, like when you and I've been through this, I ain't gonna hold you, I've been through this, I've been in situationships, and dealing with women too long, and like it's supposed to just been a fling, but then it turns into something else, and like some people slip up and say I love you, and you're just like I don't even know if I love this person, I don't even know if I really like this person, we just enjoyed sex, and it gets so complicated and muddled, and you're just like I'm so far gone, I don't know how to get out of this. And that's the thing, that was the theme with Drew, just beyond being a stoner, beyond being a guy that we don't know what he do for a living, but he has all his money, but he also just enjoy women, young, late 20s, probably early 30-year-old, just enjoying his life as he should, but still kind of has a love interest, but that he's not sure if she's really a love interest. So that was going on. And then also was going on the fact that, that they're raiding their friend's room, but now surprisingly their friend's coming home to with his girlfriend. Ryan's coming home with Faye and they're having an argument. And now these two guys have to run and hide in a closet together. And then funny thing about that was I think that might have that whole argument might have been in the previous episode or the previous two episodes. So you see how the argument plays out, but now you see from two other people's point of view as they're like hiding. And I'm pretty sure like Ryan and Faye like had sex too. So I can only imagine. Just let that live back. Your friends are in the closet watching you have sex because you can't leave. You can't be like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm out. I'm getting out of here. But so yeah, so overall, the idea of Petri Dish or the idea and the feeling of Petri Dish just was a comedy, because the whole idea and the meaning of it is God's comedy. Because I feel like that's how it is in life. When you make plans, God's known to laugh, and I feel like this is that instance where as though this whole series is about just God laughing at you constantly, even when you're like, I want to be serious. I want things to go well. And then here comes God just doing something weird. You're just like, thank you. Thank you. Yes, now I'm trapped in the closet with my friend. All right, with my best friend, watching my two other best friends argue and get on. So yes, that's the whole the breakdown of this episode.
Yeah, like I said, it's a hilarious episode. The fact that you even named it Trapped in the Closet, I thought was hilarious because
Yeah,
that has so
man.
many, like different meanings with that.
Yes. It's a multitude of meanings. And I definitely, hopefully, you'll think about the R. Kelly type of meaning. Because
That's
I
one
am not trying to get.
of
But the idea of trapped in the closet also was this was like, oh, but people cheating and like, oh, you gotta hide somewhere. But where though, trapped in the closet was ridiculous. It was like pre Tyler Perry
right.
ridiculousness. I saw this come across my Facebook because it gives me memories of, and I was like, you know what? Let me share this. This is one of my favorite episodes.
Hands down, definitely one of the great classic ones. And what I always like harken back to is when, like you said, when Axel went down the list of like what all his friends like bring to the table. It's so funny because I automatically thought of like you and like your friends, how like they're always like, oh, well, now that you're with Ty, you now like nice things and you got all these things and money. And I'm just like, no, like he's always been this way. He upgraded me, and I'm not afraid to admit that. Like, this man was like this before I got here. He just now has aged and he's, now gotten bigger pockets. So now he's able to like be like, I'm gonna do things for me because I deserve it. So I always think about that. Like, your friends are like, no, like this is not Eric of yesteryear.
Erica Yesier was broke, okay? As all 20-year-old millennials Okay, was
That's
broke, but I still had my own home or my own place. So that was the beauty of it. But yeah, again, I take from my friends, my actual friends, whatever, that I feel like Axel is like the extreme spectrum of Kevin. Like if Kevin was just like an emotional man child, this is how he'll be. And yes, I feel like Ryan is really a lot of elements of me. Just has a lot of elements of me. Faye is a mixture of like three of my great friends, Jen Ray, Alicia, Shantae. Like I said, Drew's a mixture of friend Sheldon, as well as my friend Sheldon as well as Rashad. I have other characters in there that's mixture. It's actually his name is Richard. And Axel normally will like insult him and call him Dick Bags because his name is Rick Bags. So I try to incorporate, the things that I know, the things, some of the randomness that I went through when it comes to like throughout my 20s and my adulthood. So I try to just write about things that I knew the best and things that I find amusing. I feel like others would. And the crazy thing is, others do, because I like normally tell random life stories that about myself, and like people just laugh at me. But I'm like, no, that like really happened. Like I don't know why you're laughing at my life. Like I was afraid at that moment, even though it was something so silly. But I'm like, I was afraid. I didn't know what was going on.
That's how it is, though. Like life, you just, it's always going to be some curveballs and just some randomness. And it's like you either buck up against it or you just go with the flow. Like that's the only two options you really have. So I think that's hilarious. But yeah, like this is pretty much the episode that kind of inspired this. I love the fact that Eric kind of displays characters that are just like your everyday people, especially like when it comes to his black characters. You know, the usually media likes to kind of put black people in like in a monolithic type view, whereas we're only one type of black person. So I love the fact that he's always open to share different types of black people that everybody can relate to, because at the end of the day, we're not all the same people, but we all are people and human and share same experiences with everybody.
So to add on to that, I feel as though, what led me to kind of really humanize black people was, again, when you grow up and all you've seen is us as gangsters, us as deadbeats, us as drug addicts, slaves. They love to remind us that we were slaves. Seeing, men in dresses, Tyler Perry. Coonism. After a while, that gets tiring, man. So I just, if anything, I could put in the ether of internet is, something that shows black people in a more just everyday personality. Like there's tons of middle class black people. We're middle class black people. There's all different types of black people that, and all different versions of black people that just have friends and just want to hang out, just do everyday stuff. And so, I didn't want to write just another superhero like type of story. I didn't want to write any horror. I didn't want to write like any detective, even though I end up did write noir down the line. But after Petri Dish was done, I wanted to write something that was pretty much just the everyday slice of pie. Now, I feel like I've grown up in this life and seen so many representations of white people, and after a while it becomes sickening because it not, not nothing racial, but it's like, why can't we have that? Why can't I have a slice of pie type of family, everyday middle class family? Why, when we arcing back and think about, middle class black people on TV, it's always the Cosby Show, nothing in between. And it's like, why couldn't we have coming of age stories? Coming of age stories about, friendships, love, sexuality, just everything. We had shows like this through the 90s, like Living Single, like Martin, Fresh Prince, but it was such a small microscopic type of era when we had these shows. And after that, we always get, shit like The Wire or Oz, stuff that just depict us in such horrible lights. And so it's like, no, like, hey, don't get me wrong, those are great shows, The Wire as well as Oz, but I just wanted to create something that's more closer to home than me. Like, I'm not in the streets. I'm definitely not in prison. I'm not, I'm not killing people or doing anything crazy. No, I'm just out here laughing, fucking enjoying myself with friends, traveling, just loving life. And so I want to create something like that. That's us. That's for us. That's about us. That's written by a black man that does this and that's living this life. Like, I'm not sitting here and, trying to exaggerate or embellish on things. No, I just wanted to create something that just a comedy that we all can laugh at and we all can say, hey, this happened to me once. Or I was in this type of situation and this happened to me. Like that type of energy I want to give. And yeah, along the way, I've got some great criticism if it's good, bad, but any criticism is always good because again, it's going to make you better. It's going to make you look at your art in a different way. It's going to make you just pretty much beyond know what the people want. Because at the end of the day, I'm not gonna say I don't care what the people want because should because they are the people that continue fuel or pay you to do these things. But if I care what everybody think or want, I will never do it. I will always feel as though that like it's just good enough. And so when you ask yourself that, what's the point of doing it? Because it should always be good enough to you. It should be beyond good because it's yours. It's your baby. It's your art. It's your art form. So yeah, I just wanted to create black in such a positive light that, when I leave this earth, and anyone reads, My Life in Peachy, just they can sit here and walk away like, damn, that was fun. That was funny. That was a roller coaster because that's what life is. Life is a crazy roller coaster, but again, it's not always crazy to the point that there's murder, death, in my life every day. No, it's again, it's a roller coaster of love, it's a roller coaster of anger, it's a roller coaster of sorrow, and like that's just what I wanted to depict in this series. It's just a great roller coaster of just black people. Black people with, don't forget their white friend. Okay. He's still a part of the group. He's a part of the group as well. But black, just different nationalities, different races, different cultures, different people coming from different places, just finding each other in this one moment in my life in a Petri dish and just living this moment out together. That's it.
Well said. I feel like I need to go like this. Well said. All right.
Thank
Well,
you. Thank you for your thanks.
yes, of course, always. You know, I'm always going to be supportive of you and everything that you do. It's always great work. I always call you a genius. I'm going to give you your flowers while you're here because, a lot of geniuses and great works of art always gets their flowers, well beyond their years on of living. So I definitely want to do my part and just say thank you. And that pretty much concludes this episode. We are literally at the end. So thank you guys so much for tuning in and watching. As always, you can follow me on all social media platforms at Give a Bean Water. And where can people find you? Can you let everybody
Oh,
know where they can find you, what you're up to?
so you can always go to my website, MyLifeAntics.com. There, you can see the current other series that I'm working on. Also on my website is my Instagram. You can click on it. It'll take you straight to my Instagram. My Instagram is Sire, Cire underscore found. You can go there. You can, you're welcome to, inbox me on the website, on Instagram. I'm always posting some randomness. It could be anything from nerdom to fashion to nature. So be prepared to the randomness of the roller coaster that is me. But yeah, so yeah, you can find me there, friend me, whatever you like to do, snoop around, whatever you like to do. I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. So yeah, you can find me there.
All right, I'm going to end it there. Thank you so much for your time, and I'll
No
see
problem. Thank you for having me.
you.
I'll see you in the kitchen.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, guys. All right, that's it. We did it.
That's it? Oh, that's, but it's still recording.
It's all right. I always splice it. I'm going to splice the ending off of it. So I like to have these
What have you
connections
done? You
at the end.
just keep this on and everybody here is talking shit and yeah, so I love how our backgrounds are so contrast. Like
Right.
yours is all like this simplistic. Mine is just this.
Chaos.
It's just a little bit of everything, all like different shades of light. You got golden light over here and shit.
Right. This like beacon of light just coming out of the corner. Like, what in the world's going
Yeah, right. They're like,
on?
what's happening in their house? Like, what's going on? They're crazy.